You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is where Wisconsin wakes up. It's Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson. Here are your hosts, Brian and Jamie.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. It is 6 minutes after six on this Monday. You are listening to the Civic Media Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. If you want to jump in with us at any point during the show, share what you did over your Easter weekend. We'd love to hear that. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Well, all weekend I have been wondering how the Juicy Lucy situation played out. Because if you weren't with us Friday, Jamie said she was making a very fancy Easter dinner for the family, which included Juicy Lucy's. And for people who may not know what those are, Jamie, what are Juicy Lucy's and how did it go?
A Juicy Lucy is, if you've ever been to the great city of Minneapolis, it's kind of a staple of Minneapolis. You've got Matt, who serves the Juicy Lucy's. I personally prefer the Nook, which is fantastic if you ever get that direction. But it's basically like you have two patties and then you put the cheese inside and then you grill them. So when you take a bite of the hamburger, the cheese just kind of oozes out. And yes, you have to be careful that it's not too hot because melty cheese and all of that.
Scalding.
Yeah, but it's so, so good. And so they were delicious. We made the Juicy Lucy's yesterday. Everybody had their own preference. So I ended up with about 12 different kinds of cheese in the house and all of that, but it was fine. The older kid was home and he made sure that the buns were nicely toasted. I said, I don't know if I want to toast the buns. And he's like, it's toasting buns. Where's your pan? So he handled that. It's kind of nice. This is what I learned yesterday. Besides being incredible Juicy Lucy's, because they were really good, I'll give myself a pat on the back.
All right, there you go.
It's really good having a kid who lives by himself and can use a kitchen now.
Wow. It always amazes me when people don't know how to do the simplest thing. Now, the only reason, Parker, you still live at home.
I do.
Because you're very young, so yes. That makes sense.
Yes.
That's not a judgment statement.
No.
It's just a statement.
No.
You know how to cook, right? You've watched your mom cook or your dad cook. You know what to do in a kitchen, right?
I can stumble my way into a meal.
Okay.
Yes.
Does that mean that you can actually make yourself a meal, or you stumble into what mom put in the refrigerator as a leftover?
I can stumble
into making
a meal.
You know how to dial DoorDash.
Hey, now that I understand how that phone number works... I can call a DoorDash like that, Brian.
We deserved that.
I know everybody's not going to be a gourmet cook.
Right.
But something my mom said when we were very young, because all my brothers can cook, all my sisters-in-law do not.
Okay.
It is crazy. My mom said, if you can read, you can cook.
Yes.
And on the most basic level, that is true. If you read, if you can follow directions, you can cook. It's not, the creativity comes after, but basically you could, I'm always like, oh, guys don't know how to cook or people don't know how to cook. I'm like, how do you not know how to cook?
This is what I appreciated about homeschooling, right? Because both of my boys were homeschooled from kindergarten all the way through, is that was part of daily life in our house, is you were going to be in the kitchen with mom. You were going to learn how to do these things because someday mom wasn't going to be there to do those things. And we called them life lessons, is what we called them. And we still call them life lessons. So there are times when I'll give mom advice and I'll be like, I'm not telling you what to do. This is a mom life lesson. So either you handle it however you want. This is what I'm telling you in my situation when I've dealt with the same type of thing we've done. And then, of course, they get life lessons from dad as well. But that was part of our daily life, is my kids did chores with me. They learned how to cook with me. They did all of those basics. And I will honestly say, like, if we leave the 19-year-old home, I stock the refrigerator, make sure he's got some cash if he wants to do a couple of DoorDashes as well. But he pretty much handles it on his own as well. He's a lot like his older brother in that sense, that they just get in the kitchen, they make the things that they want. They can make the basics. They can zhuzh up the basics for a little extra. They can do it all. So it was nice to have an extra set of hands in the kitchen, though, for those toasty buns yesterday for the Juicy Lucy's.
Yeah, that's very helpful. If you don't have, if your kid can't do anything in the kitchen, either one, you did not cook, or two, your kid is dense, because just by osmosis, you should pick up some sort of skills. If you've ever sat in a kitchen and watched your mom or dad or grandma cook something, you should at least, there should be some sort of identification of the process.
Right.
It's not, you know, you don't have to make coq au vin.
Right.
You can just, but can you grill a hamburger? Can you scramble an egg? Can you know, it's.
My kid bakes banana bread and everything for all of his friends, like, and all of that. Like, he'll take, if people help him out when he was in school, right? Because they were poor college students. If he didn't have money to pay them or help them, or if they gave him a lift somewhere because his car was in the shop or something like that, he'd go home and make him a loaf of banana bread and be like, I can't give you any money for gas right now. But, and I'm telling you, they always appreciated the kid's banana bread more than they did the cash.
they're going to blow through the cash, but they're going to enjoy that.
Right, right.
Parker, did the Easter Bunny come to your house? Did
Easter Bunny did hop over to the Olsen house, yes.
Very nice.
What did you get in your little basket?
Mostly just a basket of some candy stuff, some chocolate stuff. I did get a Badger football jersey.
Ooh.
Which I'm not sure. If, well, okay.
That Easter Bunny has a budget.
Nice.
Well, because my birthday is tomorrow.
Oh,
I think it's
happy
like.
Happy birthday to Frank.
Make
we have
notes.
To Frank.
Oh,
don't
no.
let us
make
forget.
Notes, Frank.
Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah. Take
much
a,
like
take
Brian,
an advice from an old man. You never tell people it's your birthday.
Anyway, I think, Frank just popped on the screen.
Well, what do you want to do for your birthday tomorrow, young man?
Yeah.
I want to not mention
it. Want me to sing happy birthday to
you? How did we not know this? How did you keep
this
under wraps so
long? Yeah, why
didn't
you say something?
I don't know. Have I not?
No.
Really?
No.
That's crazy. Because every time I remember what day election day is because it's on my birthday this year.
Wow.
You know what, Parker? I appreciate a man that doesn't tell anybody when his birthday is.
Yeah, I mean,
you bottle that up. Yeah. You keep that inside.
That's right.
Nobody cares.
There's no joy in Mudville.
We love you.
Do you find men and women do that differently? Because I am all about a birth month, and I will tell you why.
Month?
You are? You do not strike me as that person at all.
Let me tell you why it's birth month. Because I remind the men in my family every single day that it's my birth month. Only because I am hoping that somebody at some point takes pity on me, walks the dog for me at least once, maybe cleans out the dishwasher and restocks it for me at least once. Maybe, just maybe, they'll even do a load of laundry on their own or vacuum the steps. That's the only reason it's birth month. And if
maybe
I get one of those things, one of those things.
Maybe this says more about the men in your life than your attitude towards your birthday.
It could. Well,
I don't want to delve too deep under the surface.
It could. No, you know? One of those things, and I am happy. Take me out for a meal, get me a piece of cake, and vacuum my steps. That is a complete birth month for me. And we start celebrating October 1st so that maybe by October 27th, somebody has done one of those things.
That's an awful testament to the men in your life.
Does
that
this
is
work?
This horrible.
Yeah.
Does
usually somebody will take pity on me and do one of those things for me at least once.
Somebody rolls their eyes and goes, I guess I'll walk the dog.
Yes, that's exactly how it goes
down.
And
then
they
communicate with each other and be like, I just did this. Somebody else needs to step up now.
I don't care how it gets done. I don't care how big
of a
pain.
Or you get it all done by October 2nd and then screw you the rest
right.
of the month.
And I would be okay with that because somebody's done it for me at least.
No.
Actually, I would.
No, you
I would. Somebody walk the damn dog. That's all I'm asking so I don't have to.
Dang.
That's it.
But
that's
would
it.
They walk the dog the right way?
Oh, yes.
Or would you find a way? Would you find something that was,
I don't care.
You know,
just do it. I don't care.
But the dog doesn't want to be walked by somebody else.
No,
right.
She just wants
to walk.
This
dog is your attachment.
She is. She is. She really is. I don't care.
She'd be pissed.
She could get away from me one time. One time. Go enjoy life with your boys. That's it. Boys are your dad. That's it. One time. I'm simple. I don't even ask for gifts. I don't even want a gift. I just want you to do one thing in my house for me. That's it.
Well, should we celebrate Parker's birth month? Parker, in fact.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow, this is the beginning of the month.
As your supervisor, I'm going to let you choose our bumper music tomorrow.
Ooh.
As you always do.
Thank you. It's an honor
Happy
and a privilege.
Happy birthday, young man. You
Parker,
enjoy that gift.
You can come in 3 minutes later than normal tomorrow.
I'll let you sleep in.
Sleep in.
Sleep in.
Three whole minutes.
We've got
450 instead of 445.
We've got a bunch of texts rolling in on social media this morning. Alicia saying, my birthday is so early in the month, I don't do birth month. That's the unfortunate part of having a birthday early in the month. Mine's not until October 27th, so I have lots of time.
And you can still take up the whole month,
you
Alicia.
You can, though. I think you can.
You can if you
knock
yeah.
yourself out.
Why? But here, all right, I'm going to say this. Ladies, I'm sorry. You know I support you. I think you should, you know, everything's equal. But this birthday month thing, I've never met a guy in my life who's, you know, my birthday is April 17th. Let's do the whole, it's birthday month. Everybody celebrate. I don't know, birthday weekend, birthday, shut up. Your birthday's one day. You just ignore it or be quiet about it, whatever. But it's your birthday, whatever.
Here's what I will say about the birthday month, though. My wife does this. If you want to go out to
your wife,
multiple,
a woman, making my case.
If you want to go out to multiple dinners to different places mm-hmm. throughout the month,
yeah.
just say it's your birthday. Yeah. They'll bring you something.
Yes. Yes, they do. Yeah, okay. That's
and
absolutely
And I benefit
true.
From that, so I fully endorse Brian.
Yeah,
that's absolutely
that.
But
true.
That's the only thing.
I got to tell you, there was a couple years ago when we were living over in the Baraboo area, and we went to one of the supper clubs of Wisconsin Dells. And we went to the supper club, and they had this amazing squash as part of their veggie entree that night. And the gentleman a couple tables over did not like his squash that, you know, had a nice layer of brown sugar in it. And so he hadn't touched it. And I said, he doesn't want his? Like, I'm literally licking the inside
God,
of my squash.
You're eating off another person's table?
Did you eat his squash?
The waitress brought it to me. She
no, that's a
me.
Health code violation.
God, that place could be shut down.
I didn't say
this is a Baraboo, Wisconsin thing. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Whoever in Baraboo, Wisconsin
you
squash
his squash. Hold on. And then she brought me a sundae with a candle in it afterwards because it was
Whose
my
was
birthday.
That?
Well, it was mine.
What table did that come from?
I came from the kitchen. I hope.
Here, this kid didn't eat his.
He sneezed on
he
it,
was
but
a grown
wiped
man,
that off.
And they brought me his squash because he didn't want it. So.
Did he? Wait, so he didn't touch it at all?
No.
Then why did
no.
they give it to him?
Because he didn't. He thought he would like it. He didn't like it once it came to the table, and it was
so
the veggie of choice for the night.
Then.
No. He just, when he got it, he didn't, they told him it was veggie of the night. He didn't ask what it was. They brought it to the table, and it ended up being squash, and he hated it, so they brought it to me.
What grown man doesn't try it?
I don't know.
This is also
I benefited, though. It was the best birthday ever, and then I got to go see Gin Blossoms in concert, so it was great.
Yeah, but then you could have had tomaine poisoning from old
that.
Man squash. That is, wow.
I'm telling you, I have
I
a low
love,
bar for
I love
birthdays.
Small towns for a visit, but I'm not going to live in a place where they're going to give me some old man's food.
Low bar
just because I eyeballed it.
Low bar for birthdays.
Look at how excited she was
Trust
to get
me,
that
I,
squash.
I was. I licked it. I licked the inside because I was hoping to get more.
Oh, God.
Wow. After he had drooled old
That's
man
right.
drool
they
on
never
it.
Had it
You're
again.
You're sick.
I did get a free bourbon on Ooh. Saturday because somebody mentioned it was my birthday. But
there
my birthday
go.
Was Friday, but I was with
Whatever.
My mom all day.
Still your birthday.
Hey, counts.
Still
get
you get
we'll
a day or like one event to celebrate.
Yes.
Yes.
And yeah, if you're going to talk about alcoholic beverages, then that's even better.
Yeah, and you know what? They poured it just for me,
there
Jamie.
You go.
Hadn't been sent back. This is Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
From Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, this is Wisconsin's Morning Conversation. Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us this morning. It is 6:22 right now. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning, I'm Brian Noonan. Welcome to another week here on Daybreak. A lot to get to today, but I there's so many places we could begin, Jamie, but let's
yes.
begin in our own backyard.
Sure.
Governor Evers vetoed a bunch of bills, including the no tax on overtime and tips, and He also vetoed one about requiring counties to cooperate with ICE. So this is big. He vetoed these Republican bills. They would have eliminated tax on tips and overtime, requiring counties to cooperate with federal immigrations. And he also overturned a veto on his 400-year veto. He vetoed a veto.
I love that.
Yeah, so the Republicans had introduced proposals to align state income tax policy with measures signed by Trump in July that included provisions allowing tip workers making less than $150,000 to deduct up to $25,000 in tips annually from their federal taxable income, and allowing certain employees who work overtime and make less than $150,000 to claim tax deduction. If you're working for tips, is anybody making over $150,000?
I think it would be interesting to talk to somebody in the service industry, because I know this was actually a popular bill with several service industry workers. So I think it'd be interesting to see if they're upset about this, which I'll give out the phone number if I'm going to, you know, ask you to call in. 1-855-752-4842, 1-855-75-CIVIC. I mean, if you are somebody who works in the service industry and you've got an opinion on this, we'd love to hear about it, because we even had a guest on the show a few weeks ago who talked about how this was a wildly popular bill among the service industry. So I was surprised.
It was until people started delving into it, because this was not forever.
Right.
It was only for a couple years, and it's more of a marketing plan.
Sure.
For, you know, to garner votes than it is actually helping tipped employees, because again, the devil was in the details on this. It sounds really good. Oh, you're never going to have to pay taxes on your tips. Hey, who wouldn't be for that?
Right.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, but then it's going to go away, and it's not every tip, and it's so there was a lot going into it. It's Senate Bill 36, which the governor vetoed. It would have given tipped employees a state income tax exemption for cash tips with a sunset date in 2028. So
how many people are actually doing cash tips now?
See, that's the thing.
Because don't we just put it on our cards? We just
write it on
the card. You add it onto the bill, and it just automatically gets divvied up and all of that. But I think that's the thing. And maybe that was what the governor
was
thinking. Catch
22.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so Evers wrote in his veto message, we shouldn't be at the whims of a Republican-controlled Congress that has no problem gutting basic necessities and services like food and access to health care just to pay for tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires, which, again, not the people that are targeted. I don't think a lot of millionaires and billionaires are working for tips.
You know,
see Zuckerberg at Chili's. Hello, what can I get you today? Would you like your baby back ribs?
I feel like that would be the most uncomfortable dinner ever if Mark Zuckerberg bellied up to
you
the
just
table.
Just standing at your table staring at you.
Not blinking. That would be very, very strange. Very uncomfortable.
You can eat that? There's a woman at the next table who wants your squash. You want to eat that?
I will always eat the squash. Just don't drool on it first.
Pull that out, Parker. Please.
Oh, I don't know if I want to.
Please. I will always eat the squash. Just don't drool on it. Just please. I don't know when we'll ever use it, but we should have it.
I have no idea.
Just have it. Have it handy.
You never know when it's going to come back.
It's a long life. You never know. Oh. Jamie, what about ICE? Why do we have to help ICE? Why does the governor not want people
well,
to
apparently
help ICE?
We're not going to be helping ICE, because he vetoed Assembly Bill 24, and that would have required law enforcement throughout the state to work with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Now, this particular bill would have actually required sheriffs to check the citizenship status of people being held in jail on felony charges and then notify federal immigration enforcement officials if citizenship could not be verified. Counties failing to comply would have been at risk of losing 15% of their shared revenue payments from the state, which helps cover the cost of fire, law enforcement, and other services. Now, of course, Republican lawmakers, including Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Julian Bradley, a senator from New Berlin, introduced this bill at the start of the president's second term, saying that the state needed to support the immigration agenda. Now, since the introduction of that bill, bill. We know that the Trump administration has stepped up detaining and deporting immigrants, but good for Governor Evers. I mean, seriously, there are still rights in this country. And then to say that we're going to just take away funding, right? Like, you're just going to take away funding because you don't check the citizenship status of somebody? There's still rights. There's still a constitution. And as far as I'm concerned, there's still, due process under law. So pesky details.
Listen, by your birthday month, that might all be gone. By tomorrow at 8 o'clock, who knows what's happening? Something is happening tomorrow at 8 o'clock. We don't know. We'll talk about all this. We're just making some side, or I'm just making some side comments. Well, we've talked a lot about this 400-year-old veto that the governor put into effect for himself. He vetoed another attempt by Republican lawmakers to repeal his 400-year veto, which extended school deficits ability to bring in an additional, or school districts ability rather, to bring in an additional $325 per student annually through the funding from the state through property taxes. Now, lawmakers rejected calls to provide an increase to schools' general aid in the most recent state budget. So the governor did what he had to do. Republican lawmakers have argued that eliminating the veto is the best way to help address rising property taxes, pushed forward on Senate Bill 389 to do so. But then the governor wrote in his veto message that lawmakers, quote, all know that my 400-year veto didn't raise Wisconsinites' property taxes. It's just a heck of a lot easier for them to blame me than it is to tell the truth, end quote. You go, Tony. Don't let them,
I love
don't let
spicy
them
Tony.
Push you around. Now, were you are you better off than you were a year ago? And where have you seen the biggest impacts on the tariffs as they reach their one-year anniversary? We will talk about that next. This is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan.
I'm Jamie Martinson. It is 6:29, and this is the Civic Media Network.
Want to join in on the conversation? Call or text 855-75-CIVIC. Now back to Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us on this Monday at 6:35 right now. If you're in Hayward listening on WBZH or in La Crosse on WLCX or even in Eau Claire on listening on 93.5 The Tap, we are glad that you decided to join us this morning. My name is Jamie Martinson.
Good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Just a couple texts coming in. You can always text us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Or you know what's even cooler? You could actually use that as a phone.
Ooh.
Call. That's fun, too. But we were talking about the governor vetoing the tax on tips bill put forward. John in Middleton, listening on WMDX, says, if you ever worked as a waiter or waitress, you would only tip in cash. I always tip in cash. Yeah, that's... For like a small thing that that makes it for bigger special occasion meals, if you're out, that's a lot of extra cash. I don't carry that kind of cash. Well, I don't have that kind of cash. Anyway, Gary also on listening on WMDX, I believe the tax on tips is related to U.S. Supreme Court's ruling that bribes to elected officials are to be considered as gratuities, but only if paid after the action. All right. Well, speaking of money and things, are you better off than you were a year ago? And the reason I'm asking, it was the anniversary of Liberation Day. So where have you seen the biggest impacts of the tariffs in your life? Yes, liberation. Remember that? We were going to be liberated. I don't know from what, except our money. I know we were being liberated from some more of our cash.
How are you feeling about Liberation Day and this one-year anniversary?
I'm not feeling good about it. I'm looking at the state of the State of the Union, and in my opinion, the State of the Union is not strong.
No.
But it was a year ago, and the president really wanted to, he liked celebrating Liberation Day, despite the fact that Liberation Day tariffs have been ruled illegal by the Supreme Court of the United States. He signed some more executive orders adjusting duties on pharmaceuticals and metals. And of course, the Democrats slammed economic fallout from Trump's trade policy.
Did they write a strongly written letter?
I hope so. That's obviously catching his attention. He's paying attention to all those strongly written letters.
All the big things.
Yeah, he's using them on his gold toilet. That's what he uses those strongly written letters for. So April 2nd was Liberation Day, so that would have been Thursday. But last April 2nd, He shocked American businesses and global markets. He declared a national emergency to impose a 10% tariff on goods from nearly every country, including, yes, that's right, our allies, people we've been trading with forever. He had double-digit duties on imports from some major U.S. trading partners. Things went south quickly. People were gaslit into believing that other countries were going to pay for these tariffs. As you know, they do not. You actually do. Mm-hmm. I do. Jamie does. Parker doesn't. His mom and dad do. But
mostly.
That, listen, Parker, I wish I still lived at home and,
right?
You know, and had them handling all the tariff stuff. But yeah, this is... It's not been a good year. It's not been a good year for business. It's not been, we've seen it across many, many industries that these tariffs have actually hurt. They've hurt small businesses disproportionately to larger corporations only because small businesses' margins are much smaller. And some of them rely on products from overseas that now have gone way up.
Yes.
And if I remember one example is a toy store, toy company here in Wisconsin, that a lot of their stuff, a lot of their games and educational mm-hmm. materials come from China and overseas. Well, they had to pay more because China and the other companies were not paying us to take them.
No.
The people importing them have to pay.
I mean, everything right now costs more, right? Groceries, cars, tools, appliances, all the basic household stuff. And it is adding up really fast. And because of those tariffs, we're also starting to see people have to make really hard choices about their finances. And here in Wisconsin, between consumers and businesses, we lost about $3.5 billion because of those tariffs. And if you look at it on a more finite, individual level, families lost about $1,700 just last year because of those taxes and because of those tariffs. So think about what you could have done right now with the rising costs with another $1,700 in your budget. But we've been told our refund checks are coming. They're coming.
Yeah. Well, once the Supreme Court ruled that these tariffs were illegal, mm-hmm. there were some states and there were companies that were like, all right, well, we need our money back.
Right.
You gotta
pay us.
Several
Wisconsin companies are suing.
Right. And a lot of, there's governors across the country that are debating to sue the government to get your money back, to get you that $1,700. Now, on Thursday, he signed two executive orders on steel, aluminum, copper, and a 100% tariff on pharmaceuticals made by transnational companies that decline to invest in manufacturing their drugs in the United States. If you are on one of these drugs, prepare to see your costs skyrocket. You may think, well, I don't buy all the metal stuff. Well, do you buy pop in a can?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any other things in your house made from steel? Are you going to buy a tool?
What's going to happen to the construction industry? I mean, when I think about this for a minute, if we're talking about this type of increase on aluminum mm-hmm. and steel and the things that they're using to build, I'm looking down State Street right now. There's major construction happening in some of these buildings where they're bringing in metals, beams and things. Mm-hmm. These are all going to be impacts. And you also look at what's going to happen to the farming industry. If we want to look at what's going to happen here in Wisconsin. I mean, we're talking about equipment increases. And we are talking about the fact that small manufacturers are going to be paying more for those parts, which means then in turn, everybody's going to end up paying even more than we already are, and it's going to start showing up in more than just your monthly bills. And let's be realistic, there's people out there that are already having a hard time affording their medications because of the cost of medicine and because the healthcare industry in this country is crazy and not good for actual patients. What is going to happen to people who really need these medications, and how are they going to get what they need to, in some cases, survive, literally?
Well, Jamie, you're taking a big leap that anybody cares about that. So
I care. I think most of our listeners care. I know the administration might not.
The people on That's what I'm talking about. The administration does not care. If you're on these medications, you and your family care, and probably your physician cares, and I would imagine the pharmacists care. But they don't make, you know, none of us make the rules. And the people who make the rules don't care one way or another about you. They don't. They will preach that they care about you. That's why they're going to lower taxes on or lower the price of pharmaceuticals. Then they don't. They will say they back the farmers, and then they don't. So, oh, we love small business until they don't. So this doesn't surprise me. And it's another thing. Let's blackmail these transnational companies and say, we won't tariff you if you invest here. We need you to come here. To be honest, if you're on a, I don't know where any of my medications, when I get a prescription, I don't care where it was made. The doctor says, take this. I say, why? What's it going to do? Oh, it'll help with da-da-da-da-da.
Sure.
Okay, cool. I don't go, where is it made? Has this transnational company invested in production here in the United States? Because I think they need to pay more tariffs. Stop it. This is a guy, and I'm, listen, based on past record, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm just going past. Somewhere this money's going into his pocket.
Yes.
Well, he brags about the company bringing in trillions of dollars on these tariffs. No.
Yeah. I mean, let's be realistic. When we're talking about pharmaceuticals, too, those aren't your luxury type goods, right? People need those medicines.
My discretionary medicine that I need to stay alive? Come on.
We need these types of items. So and when it comes to things like medicines, I mean, we see it with my mom all the time. She's constantly adjusting her budget so that she can make sure she has the medicines that she needs. And I've talked about this before. She has congestive heart failure. So without the medicines that she gets on a monthly basis, she literally wouldn't be here because those medicines keep her alive. They keep her heart functioning the way it's supposed to. So when you think about other people in that predicament, I even think about your wife. We've talked about her being mm-hmm. a diabetic on medicines. Right. They're already astronomically high. So what is going to happen? Are people going to start rationing things like insulin? And that's already a problem in this country. People are already doing those things because the medicines in this country and our healthcare system does not give people what they actually need to be able to afford these medicines already. And now the president's just like, let's just put a 100% tariff on them. It's fine. Yeah. It's fine.
Well, the other day she'd gone and picked up her prescriptions and she said, and I'm thankful every day that we have good insurance. I truly am. She said, you know what my insulin would cost per month? It was like $2,300.
Who can afford that?
If we did not have insurance.
Who can afford that? I don't even want to add up what my mom's medicines, because she's on some very high-powered ones. I'm sure she has probably done it. I have not sat down with her recently to add up what it would cost if she didn't have her insurance, because, I mean, it's a regimen of pills for her heart.
Yeah.
So I can't even imagine. And I was having this conversation with friends just last week. Maybe I'm not hanging out in the right tax bracket, because none of the people I know are feeling like they're doing better financially 1 year after Liberation Day than they are today. So maybe I'm just not hanging out with the right people in the right tax bracket, because we don't feel like we're doing better.
No, Lynn makes a good point. She's in Golden Valley. She says those companies do not need to invest, only claim that they will. A factory takes 2 to 4 years to design, order, and build.
Sure.
If they say they will say how he is winning, and the companies can wait for the next administration.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
It's a very good point. Yeah, it's kicking the can so that you feel like you're doing something.
Because, well, and then you're also appeasing dear leader.
Of course. Of course. And I think that's just what it is, right? There's plenty of people in this administration who will say that they are winning this war on tariffs, when in actuality, they're not. It's kind of like the war in Iran, right? Like, we're actually not winning anything. It feels like we're kind of at a stalemate at the status quo, and nobody's doing Nobody is better off than they were. We aren't better off because of these tariffs. We aren't better off because of this war. It's just this never-ending loop that this administration takes us in, telling us that this is happening, when in actuality it's not. It's just not happening.
I would love to hear from somebody who thinks they're doing better because of all these tariffs. If you are, I mean,
let us know how's that going
for you. Give us the secret.
We'd all like
a little help. 855-75 Civic. I would love to know that. And you know, if suddenly we get a call from Elon or Zuckerberg, because they're probably the only ones who are doing okay. Maybe Bezos.
Zuckerberg took a break from his Chili's gig to come help us out today.
That's right. He's winning so much with no tax on tips that he's able to just come on. All right, here's a question. We want to know if you have a favorite example of public art. I love public art. We're going to talk about a piece of public art that you might enjoy. Some people are not enjoying it. I'm enjoying it quite a bit.
I can tell you who's not enjoying this one.
Hold on. Let me get. Well, we'll discuss it after. We'll talk public art after this at Daybreak.
6:48. This is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Local news, community stories, and the conversations that matter most. Now, more Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Network. It is 6:52 right now. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Good morning. Glad you are with us. I don't know about you, Jamie. I'm guessing you feel the same. I'm a big fan of public art because
Love
I'm
it.
An activist liberal. I'm a snowflake. I like to be able to see pieces of art.
I just like to see cool things.
I like to see cool things. I remember when Minneapolis did the whole thing where there were Peanuts characters everywhere.
Yes.
And they did the Snoopies. And we were up there, and I loved hunting around the city to see if I could find a new Snoopy or see Charlie Brown or something. Chicago, for a long time, did these cows that artists and groups would repaint, and they were beautiful. Fire hydrant stuff. Everywhere you go, if you get the chance to see public art, it's great. And one of the biggest places for outdoor memorials and arts is, of course, Washington, D.C. There's a lot there. You may have heard of a Lincoln Memorial, thing like that. Have you heard of a throne fit for a king? That is the newest piece of public art. It's the latest Trump-themed installation to appear on the National Mall. It's a 10-foot sculpture. It was unveiled March 30th by the anonymous group The Secret Handshake and inspired by the president's recent renovation of the White House's Lincoln bathroom. The group says the installation uses humor and spectacle to prompt political discourse. It is a giant golden toilet.
I love it. I love it.
I do too.
You've seen the photos of it, I'm assuming.
I've seen people sitting on it because you
fantastic.
Can sit on it to take
yes,
a picture.
It's fantastic.
It's great. And it is titled A Throne Fit for a King. He loves everything gold. We've seen all the pictures of the Oval Office now are disgusting, in my opinion. Garish, and just I don't like that kind of decorating.
It feels like it's gone beyond Liberace. Like it has literally gone beyond Liberace at this point. Everything is gold leafed. Everything looks like a hotel or a motel or Mar-a-Lago where there's signs everywhere.
It looks like Caesar's Palace. Everything looks like Caesar's Palace, which is one of the gaudiest hotels in a town that makes its bones on gaudy.
And the thing about it is, too, is gold leafing has its place, but this is, it literally looks like somebody took a gold crayon and colored everything. If that's what makes him feel more like home, I guess, hopefully it can be undone at some point, too, because it's
what you think rich makes you look rich.
Yeah.
Gold makes me look rich.
But that's always been his MO, right? Because you look at the photos of inside his apartments when he would allow photographers in at one point. Everything was gold. Everything was glass. Everything was basically what he's trying to make this Oval Office into now. It is essentially what it was. There's a pattern.
Tacky and low rent. You could go to Washington. You could sit on this big throne. Now, that came a month after Secret Handshake's other piece of public art, which was Trump and Epstein in the iconic Titanic pose. Remember at the when they were at the "I'm the King of the World" on the front of the boat? That was Trump and Epstein. They put that out there, which was lovely. The Secret Handshake said it created the piece as a tribute to Trump during what it described as a time of, quote, unprecedented division, escalating conflict, and economic turmoil. In that context, the group said, the president focused on what truly mattered, remodeling the Lincoln bathroom. It's a tribute to a visionary, the group said in a statement, who looked down, saw a problem, and painted it gold. Yeah.
I love that they point out that this president always has his eye on the prize and is right there with the pulse of the people, right? Because that's essentially...
Have I mentioned my ballroom, Jimmy? It's the greatest ballroom ever. Have I mentioned that? It's going to be the big... People have been clamoring for centuries. For 300 years, people have been saying, why doesn't the United States have a ballroom? Before the country was even a country, somebody in Europe who was living in the Stone Age dreamt of a grand ballroom. I'm bringing it to the people. That's what I do. I'm a visionary. Look at all the gold.
Now, do you have, you mentioned the Peanuts characters in the Twin Cities, you mentioned in Chicago, but do you have like an ultimate favorite public art display that you've seen?
I think it was those two, the cows and Peanuts. But then I still, when I see the Picasso in downtown Chicago, it's amazing. I think, you know, the bean is, I don't get it. Dumb.
It's a touristy
thing. But people love
the
bean.
It's fun to go take photos by.
It's fun. Anywhere I'm walking around, like even if I'm on a college campus and there's a goofy statue.
Oh, of course.
Or I see, where was I? Oh, on, we went to visit Mizzou and they had, because that's where the guy who wrote Beetle Bailey came from. And I'm sitting next to Beetle Bailey on a, on a bench. It was just fun.
Yeah.
Just, I think it's great that people are exposed to that kind of thing. How about you? Do you have?
Got several. Some of my favorites. One of my favorites is the Spoon Bridge and Cherry in Minneapolis. That's always fantastic over at the Walker Museum of Art. That's fantastic. If you look right here in Madison, there's several painted Bucky statues all over. So you can go check those out. Some are at businesses. Mm-hmm. Some are just in different locations. There's always the Fawn statue in Milwaukee, which
that's
is
true.
Always iconic, right? One of my personal favorites is the Secret Mosaic Staircase in San Francisco because that's so incredible. It's beautiful.
I've seen that.
Oh, you've never? Oh, I love it. It's so beautiful, and it looks like the same pattern that they carry through on the front of the steps all the way down. It's fantastic for photos. I also love the Wynwood area in Miami with all the graffiti on the buildings because we're talking about, if you've never seen, we're talking about multi-story buildings, right? And from top to bottom, in some cases, there's this amazing graffiti all over the side. So that's incredible. I also love, if we're in Wisconsin, I love the trolls in Mount Horeb. Those are always fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
those are cool.
Trollway is always great. And I also love Dr. Evermore's Forevertron in Sauk County. If you don't know who Dr. Evermore was, he created all of these scrap metal sculptures, including like a 300-ton steampunk-inspired machine, and he built it all from scratch. It is one of the coolest places to go explore and have some fun. It's very, very
get
fun.
Out, soak up a little art. It's free, and if you're a little, you got a little intestinal distress, go to the National Mall, sit on Trump's big throne. That'll be fun. When we come back, it's headlines, it's stuff you need to know, and it's hour two of the big show. This is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan.
I am Jamie Martinson. It is 6:59 right now on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.